There was no sign of life at Maple Run. The front lawn had been cut within the past few days, and the judge's old black Lincoln was parked in the rear. But other than those two pieces of evidence, there was no sign that anyone had lived there for many years. The front of the house was dominated by four large round columns under a portico, and when Ray had lived there, these columns were painted white. Now they were green with vines and ivy. The wisteria was running wildly along the tops of the columns and onto the roof. Weeds choked everything, flower beds, shrubs, walkways. Memories hit hard, as they always did when he pulled slowly into the drive and shook his head at the condition of a once fine home. And there was always the same wave of guilt. He should have stayed, should have gone in with the old man and founded the house of Attlee and Attlee, should have married a local girl and sired a half dozen descendants who would live at Maple Run, where they would adore the judge and make him happy in his old age. He slammed his door as loudly as possible, hoping to alert anyone who might need to be alerted. But the noise fell softly on Maple Run. The house next door to the east was another relic, occupied by a family of spinsters who had been dying off for decades. It was also an antebellum, but without the vines and weeds, and it was completely shadowed by five of the largest oak trees in Clanton. The front steps and the front porch had been swept recently. A broom was leaning near the door, which was open slightly. The judge refused to lock the house, and since he also refused to use air conditioning, he left windows and doors open around the clock. Ray took a deep breath and pushed the door open until it hit the doorstop and made noise. He stepped inside and waited for the odor to hit, whatever it might be this time. For years, the judge kept an old cat, one with bad habits, and the house bore the results. But the cat was gone now, and the smell was not unpleasant at all. The air was warm and dusty and filled with the heavy scent of pipe tobacco. "Anybody home?" he said, but not too loudly. No answer. The foyer, like the rest of the house, was being used to store the boxes of ancient files and papers the judge clung to as if they were important. They had been there since the county evicted him from the courthouse. Ray glanced to his right, to the dining room where nothing had changed in 40 years, and he stepped around the corner to the hallway that was also cluttered with boxes. A few soft steps, and he peeked into his father's study. The judge was napping on the sofa. Ray backed away quickly and walked to the kitchen, where surprisingly there were no dirty dishes in the sink, and the counters were clean. The kitchen was usually a mess, but not today. He found a diet soda in the refrigerator and sat at the table trying to decide whether to wake his father or to postpone the inevitable. The old man was ill and needed his rest, so Ray sipped his drink and watched the clock above the stove move slowly toward 5 p.m. Forrest would show up, he was certain. The meeting was too important to blow off. He'd never been on time in his life. He refused to wear a watch and claimed he never knew what day it was. And most folks believed him. At exactly 5, Ray decided he was tired of waiting. He had traveled a long way for this moment, and he wanted to take care of business. He walked into the study, noticed his father hadn't moved, and for a long minute or two was frozen there, not wanting to wake him, but at the same time feeling like a trespasser. The judge wore the same black pants and the same white starched shirt he had worn as long as Ray could remember. Navy suspenders, no tie, black socks, and black wingtips. He had lost weight, and his clothes swallowed him. His face was gaunt and pale, his hair thin and slicked back. His hands were crossed at his waist and were almost as white as the shirt. Next to his hands, attached to his belt on the right side, was a small white plastic container. Ray took a step closer, a silent step for a better look. It was a morphine pack. Ray closed his eyes, then opened them and glanced around the room. The roll-top desk under General Forrest had not changed in his lifetime. The ancient Underwood typewriter still sat there, a pile of papers beside it. A few feet away was the large mahogany desk left behind by the Attlee who had fought with Forrest. under the stern gaze of General Nathan Bedford Forrest, and standing there in the center of a room that was timeless, Ray began to realize that his father was not breathing. He comprehended this slowly. He coughed, and there was not the slightest response. Then he leaned down and touched the judge's left wrist. There was no pulse. Judge Reuben V. Attlee was dead.